Could we pray for each other for a moment? If you'll pray that I will say the words that the Lord wants me to say, and that you'll be able to hear I'll pray that you'll hear the words that the Lord wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady, Mother of Mercy. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. In thinking of motherhood, a mother of mercy, Mary, Mother of Mercy, and also reflecting on our readings, and we'll draw a little bit as well from St. Gregory the Great. We can't neglect him on his feast day. One expression of Mary's mercy is the same expression that we see in the biology of a woman, that she creates within her, first of all, and then in the space of her home, a protective space in which a child can grow. First of all, in her own body, that protective space of the womb, protected at the cost of her own life. If that baby will be harmed, necessarily the mother would also be harmed. Often they would be killed together if they were attacked. The mother unites her life in a deep and existential and concrete and biological way to that baby, and unites herself, creating that protective space inside of her. And then she allows herself to be stretched and to grow with that baby. She suffers the pain of creating that space so that the baby will be protected. And at the same time, the baby is quite unaware of this. And this extends beyond childbirth, then, to the space of the home, and how often a mother creates a protective space. And the father is also a part of this protection in both cases. But the inner circle of the protection, we could say, is the protection of the mother, who creates a space in which a child can grow, in which a child can make mistakes and fail and struggle and rebel. And always there is that protective space of the mother's love. And how much mothers suffer. I'll speak for my own mother. Maybe you can reflect on yours. Probably you didn't have the same kind of childhood I did. But how much mothers suffer in the rebellion, in the resistance of their children, who have no idea how much their mother is loving them and just enduring the blows. She cushions the blows of a child's rebellion, growing, pushing. As a child grows physically, it's also pushing against the boundaries of morality, of psychology, pushing against finding the limits and struggling to become fully who that child is, to the point that a child that has grown up in that kind of context has so much confidence in their person. They've found all of the boundaries, and they haven't been met with revenge or harshness, but the boundary was always cushioned by the mother's love. A mother creates that protective space, and a mother does that, again, at her own cost. She experiences and suffers with the resistance, the pushing, stretching that's constantly happening in the space of her maternal care. A mother is tempted to constrict that space to one that's a little bit more in her control, but a good mother makes it big enough, not infinitely big, because there do need to be boundaries, but big enough and cushioned enough that child has some space to explore and to discover the limits on his own, and yet without falling off a cliff, the mother protects those more extreme boundaries. But she creates a space that's big enough, and that always stretches her. A mother always, she feels a certain helplessness in keeping that child from wanting the child to follow the right path, knowing that there's going to be some pushing against the boundaries, and then the mother experiences the stretching that's happening and the resistance. And we hear that also in our readings. St. Paul has a kind of motherhood. There's an evangelical motherhood that extends also to priests and bishops like St. Gregory. We read and we really get the sense in his writings, in his rule for pastoral care, in his teachings on the morality of Job, on his reflections, even in today's office of readings, the way that good father suffers and stretches. There's a kind of evangelical motherhood that he expresses also, being the structure also of Mother Church. But St. Paul experiences that as his own children in Christ are rebelling, as they think because of the protective surrounding, the protective home of his love, of his evangelization, his children think they're all that. They think that they're rulers, they think that they're strong, they think that they can do everything on their own, just like little children. And St. Paul expresses that and is in also in that way keeping them a little bit bounded in that protective space. St. Paul reflects on his feeling of being weak. And a mother in order to make a protective space feels her weakness. She receives a lot of blows. She doesn't protect herself from the blows of her children that beat against her stomach and demand their own way and beat against the limits and push against that protective space. Mother feels her weakness. If she didn't feel her weakness, then she would be presenting a harsh space to her children. So St. Paul also feels his weakness. We are weak and you are strong, he says with some irony, but he does feel the weakness. We see it also in the gospel. There are many layers to this gospel, but one simple layer and a beautiful layer is the fact that the disciples are being attacked, but Jesus is the one who responds. Jesus is protecting them. He's protecting his little ones who are also exploring. They're in a certain way discovering the fact that he's Lord of the Sabbath by doing what they probably also know is illegal on the Sabbath, and yet they've already found that protective space of his mercy, of his love. They realize that in the presence of Jesus, they can do some of these things, and if they go astray, he'll guide them and correct them, not with harshness and judgment and condemnation, but with loving care. He doesn't fixate first of all on the law. He fixates first of all on their growth, allowing them to stretch against the boundaries. And precisely this becomes the teaching moment for all of us, that the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath, that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, that as we reflected on last night, it's not first of all about the religious practices, it's first of all about a relationship. And the religious practices are a consequence of that relationship, helping us to enter, to feel and enter more deeply into our own weakness and allow ourselves to be stretched in desire, and then to also discover the protective care, the protective home of the Father's love, also expressed through the mother's care. So Jesus defends and protects his disciples. I was just reflecting on this in the passage, and I never really made it concrete before, but every time I have read this passage, I've always thought of the disciples as little children. In fact, I think I might have even read that somewhere in the Fathers, but they really come across as little children that their daddy is standing up for. And that's the evangelical motherhood, this protective space that God gives us in order to grow and to stretch and to make mistakes, to be corrected, but always with mercy and tenderness. That's that maternal space, the womb of the church, the care of mercy. That's the space that Our Lady presents for us. And so as I was meditating on this and reflecting for the homily, and of course I can't help but think of how much your great image here in the chapel is descriptive of exactly what we're meditating on with Mary, Mother of Mercy. And then I can't help but see us sort of nestled in that space between her arms, very small in this embrace. And so we learn also from this relief then where Mary gains the courage to become a Mother of Mercy, how that motherhood develops in her. It develops precisely in this space where she sees and feels the merciful protection of the Son's love, the covering of the precious blood. It's what St. Gregory speaks about when he reflects on divine mercy. He takes up this passage from Job, and he says, "Earth does not cover over the blood of our Redeemer, for every sinner, as he drinks the blood that is the price of his redemption, offers praise and thanksgiving, and to the best of his power makes that blood known to all around him." And so the blood has this power that's greater than, it can't be covered up by the earth. Rather, the blood is what covers us. Nothing gets in the way of or keeps down the protection of his blood. As, again, this image displays so beautifully. That gushing, nothing is going to stop that gushing flood of his blood from being the thing that is the closest protection. No creature of earth, no other creation is going to cover over that blood, but it is the powerful womb that surrounds us, that protects us, that blood pours out and covers over us. Earth has not hidden away his blood, for Holy Church has preached in every corner of the world the mystery of its redemption. So we get that sense of the victory of the blood, which is more powerful than any enemy and can surround us and give us that space, give us that freedom to be able to grow. There's nothing that restricts our human development or our spiritual development more than fear. The fear to make mistakes, the fear to explore, the fear to express ourselves and to find those limits, and then to learn to live in the on the fine line, the narrow way of charity that Christ has set out for us. But we're going to fall to one side and to the other side. And simply in the dimensions of our growth, we need to know we have that protective sphere, that protective space of his blood. God has allowed evil a certain power in order to protect our freedom, but the limits he places on evil is his blood, is his divine mercy, as St. John Paul II said. So we always have that protective sphere. There's no way that we can go wrong. There's no false move that we can make. There's no level of sin that we can commit that his blood cannot redeem us and bring us back. And so it's ultimately the protecting that surrounds us. And we live in the protection of his blood. So Our Lady learned from being there at the foot of the cross the protective power of his blood, to be surrounded in his blood in that way. In our readings, well, one more point from mercy is expressed in that prayer, in that protection, and then also in a prayer that has a hope for redemption. Really, again, it's a prayer that is trusting in the power of his blood to redeem everyone and everything, and that goes beyond, then starts to go beyond self-protection and moves to the protection of others. And we can think of Our Lady again at the foot of the cross and how she was fixated on her Son, trusting in the power of his blood, and then already extending that to others. Her motherhood developed at the foot of the cross, as I think it was in one of our readings from St. Bonaventure for the Day of Renewal. Her motherhood developed in that profound moment at the foot of the cross, and it already began to stretch out. I've often thought of the joy that Our Lady must have felt when the good thief said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And I imagine that Our Lady was already praying for him and was delighted to see the power of her prayer being answered right there in that moment, in the hour of his death. And Our Lady's prayers extended even farther beyond that. So St. Gregory said, Is it possible to offer or even to imagine a purer kind of prayer than that which shows mercy to one's torturers by making intercession for them? It was thanks to this kind of prayer that the frenzied persecutors who shed the blood of our Redeemer drank it afterward in faith and proclaimed him to be the Son of God. Sometimes our own prayers for mercy come to the point of at least not praying for vengeance on those who have hurt us and who are around us, and we kind of feel good that we prayed a little blessing on somebody. But as St. Gregory is describing, really the prayers of Our Lady go way beyond that. Not just don't condemn these torturers to the worst kind of death, make it a little easier on them, but rather allow them to drink of the same blood that I will drink of. Make them Christians who can rejoice in your saving grace. Her prayers go way beyond just not being mean or asking for a little blessing. Her prayers go way beyond that. May those who shed his blood one day be blessed to drink of it. That's amazing. So those two aspects of mercy, protection and prayer. And as you have in your readings for the Day of Renewal, this beautiful passage from St. Bonaventure, "But you also, my most merciful Lady, behold that most sacred garment of your beloved Son, artistically woven by the Holy Spirit from your chaste body, and together with him, beg forgiveness for us who take refuge in you, that we may be found worthy to flee from the wrath to come." Right? Those are the two dimensions. Refuge, protection, and prayer. Beg forgiveness. Beg forgiveness for us who take refuge in you. And again, that comes from her gazing upon his body, mystically woven from her chaste body, which has been torn up by our sins. And she discovers in that an expansive heart. She discovers in that the capacity to make a refuge for the entire world, for every Christian who would ever be born. She discovers in that a motherhood that is able to embrace everyone, and from that also rises up a prayer that that precious blood would cover and protect and transform everyone, even his persecutors. From her sufferings, she is able to bring forth this motherhood. As we learn to grow in that protection of Our Lady's love, and as we allow ourselves, wherever there's a fear in our life, wherever there's constriction because we're afraid to make mistakes, we're afraid to be judged, we're afraid to be condemned, and so often those things go so far back into our childhood, wherever we experience that, if we can place that under the mantle of her protection, if we can hide ourselves in the protective embrace of Our Lady's love, if we can discover that sanctuary, that refuge, that we're allowed to grow and to make mistakes and to fall and to go the wrong direction and to have our own rebellious spirit where we're discovering ourselves and our own identity and our, whatever, self-actualization, we use these psychological terms, but where we really come to develop into ourselves, we can discover that space and allow that. Maybe that little child that felt so constricted by parents that were overly strict, or a mother that was overly fearful, or a mother that was smothering, or maybe even some dimensions in community, and we can allow ourselves to just have that space to be ourselves and to be loved. It starts to bring a confidence and alive in us that helps us also to become then mothers of mercy, to be able to create that space for others, to not be so quick to condemn and to judge and to find every fault and to pick out every problem, and we can allow others also to have a little bit of space in which we continue to embrace them and love them and give them some room, give them the chance also to grow and to develop and to become the sisters, the mothers, the brides that each of them were meant to be. And likewise with those we serve, the poor, the college students who are hardly different from children, give them the space to grow. So we need to learn where we can carry this, as your constitutions say. We receive his mercy that we are called to become, I guess the constitution say, we are called to become vessels of mercy. And to draw also from yesterday's reading, we're called to become then new wineskins. And Pope Francis, in his beautiful meditations for priests, said that the vessel of mercy, the place that we receive his mercy, is precisely our own sins. Or when we look at Our Lady, of course, she didn't sin, but she knew her weakness. She knew her capacity, how much she would have sinned if she hadn't been protected by his grace. And that's the place, or if we look at our own past and we see the ways that we tested our own mother's patience, either our mother in community or our physical mother when we were growing up, when we see the areas that we were pushing and failing and rebelling and discovering the limits, when we see the ways that our mothers were so merciful with us or our sisters have been so merciful with us, when we see the places of our failure, and I even think of the way that in our bodies, when we suffer a wound, right, blood pools up there to make a bruise. When we see our own bruises, that's where also the blood of Christ has welled up. It's our own bruises, our own weaknesses, our own sins, our own wounds that are precisely the place that become vessels of his mercy. And that's where we will find, as we look to the place that we have received mercy, it's hand in hand with our own failures and sins. It's hand in hand. It's in the very same place that we discover our own mistakes, that we discover our own weaknesses. That's where we will find his mercy pooled up. And that's where we will find the space to be able to offer that mercy, offer that precious blood from our own wells, our own reserves. We'll be able to offer it others from the to others from the place of our own weakness. So we remember our own weaknesses before we judge those of others. I have to apologize to you and to admit my own failure. Just yesterday, I was becoming very critical of, the day before yesterday, one of my brothers in community who's always late, and he was late for the seminary mass, and I wanted to say to him, God only held me back by his mercy from actually saying it, but you need to be on time for Mass. The seminary Mass needs to start on time. We don't need to give bad example. And here I am, 5 minutes late for Mass, 2 days later. It's God helps us to remember our own weaknesses, and I was a little bit in that moment, even holding back my tongue against my brother. But when we remember our own failures, that's a wellspring of mercy. It gives us the space to become mothers, to provide that protective space for others to fail and to make mistakes. So we learn to carry others in that vessel of mercy, like Our Lady did, as she carried Jesus, and then as she carries each of us in the vessel of mercy, all of her own weakness. She knows how little she is. As St. Bonaventure says, or St. Clare actually said, just as the glorious Virgin of Virgins carried him physically, so you too, following in her footsteps, especially those of humility and poverty. See, it's in our weakness. That's the space. That's the vessel of mercy. Especially those of humility and poverty can, without any doubt, always carry him spiritually in your chaste and virginal body, containing him by whom both you and all things are contained, and possessing that which, even when compared with the other transitory possessions of this world, you will possess more securely. Let me just finish with a couple of very brief concrete points from Pope Francis. How do we create that home of protection? As he said so beautifully, Mary was able to turn a stable into a home for Jesus, with poor swaddling clothes and an abundance of love. How do we provide that protective space for people? We don't have to tell them about all the ways that we are carrying burdens in order to take care of them. I've heard so many testimonies from people who grew up in poor homes, who gave the highest praise to their parents by saying, "We were really poor, but I had no idea when we were growing up how poor we were." Those are beautiful parents. We carry many burdens for the sake of others. We don't need to let them know about all of them. That's part of the motherhood of mercy that we offer. To carry that burden, we can tell Jesus. We can receive his protection. We can find refuge in Our Lady's embrace. But we don't need to tell the children that we're carrying, whether the children in community or the children that we're carrying in our ministries. We don't need to tell them. We just turn that stable into a home with poor swaddling clothes and an abundance of love. That protection also is expressed by Pope Francis when he says, Mary is the friend who is ever concerned that wine not be lacking in our lives. She's looking out to provide joy for us. And it's a way that we can express our motherhood of mercy for others. Look for ways to provide joy for others. Create a space in which there is rejoicing, that little children aren't anxious and afraid, but because of the freedom they experience, a joy bubbles forth in them, and they're able to explore, and that joy is contagious. How many mothers have laughed because they provided a space for their children to be themselves? And Our Lady provides that space for us just to be our little selves, rejoicing. She's always providing that wine of joy for us. And then he says, also about Our Lady, that she's also close to us. Part of that protective space of her motherhood is really understanding us. And how beautifully mothers who really understand the pain of their children. Pope Francis says, she is the woman whose heart was pierced by a sword and who understands all our pain. That's a beautiful motherhood. A mother who doesn't diminish the pain of her children. What child has pain that really measures up? Some children really do have tremendous pain. But so many of the little boo-boos and scrapes and hurts that we experience, God doesn't look down on those. Our Lady doesn't look down on those and say, oh, come on, get over it. It doesn't matter. She takes that little child up and kisses the boo-boo and takes care. Oh, that really hurt you, didn't it? You were trying and playing so hard and that was really difficult. And she lavishes us with some love so much that we just forget that it even hurts and we go back to playing in her presence. This is also a concrete way we can express motherhood, to really feel the pain, to take seriously the pain of those who are suffering. Even if compared to our own struggles, compared to the struggles of the world, it doesn't seem like much. If we lavish a little bit of love on that, we offer a little kiss, wrap that wound, then quickly enough, the child herself will forget about the pain and go back to playing and learn over time to relativize the things that are not so important and to grow into the things that are also more important. This is the way Our Lady cares for us and also teaches us that dynamic of caring for others. So as we come before this altar and our Lord feeds us and protects us in all of those ways, and we can think of the chapel itself and the liturgy, it's such a beautiful refuge for us in which we shouldn't be anxious about making mistakes or having the wrong things or doing the wrong things here. That we really are in a safe space. The liturgy provides all of the ritual for us. It provides all of the structure for us. It provides a home for us in which we can really grow into the children of Mary and the children of God that He has formed us to be. The saints who also can become a protective home and a protective space for those we serve.